May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For we ask it in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now, our gospel lesson today is about two questions that Jesus asked. And they both have to do with the identity of who Jesus is. Now, the main question for us today is specifically, who is Jesus? Now, I know I've shared this, I believe I have shared this story with you before, but if so, hey, be prepared to hear it again. It's still a good story. Many of you know who Lee Strobel is. He wrote the book, The Case for Christ, and numerous other books. He's a Christian apologist, and they made a movie about his life a few years ago. If you haven't seen it, see The Case for Christ. But Lee Strobel serves on our on the Scripture Awakening Board of Directors, and he now lives in Houston. When you read the book, you'll think he's in Chicago. Well, he was then, but now moved to Houston. And if the same week he moved to Houston, we had a fundraiser, and he had agreed to be our speaker. And when we were waiting for everyone to arrive, he was relating a story to us, and the story is worth repeating. Lee, being from Chicago, had never been to a Cracker Barrel. And so after they were had moved the stuff in, he and a friend went out to eat. They were at Cracker Barrel and are walking down the porch, and all of those rocking chairs that are lined up there, of course, I don't know if they're still there during the pandemic, but maybe they're just further apart. But he said as he walked down the sidewalk to go into the restaurant, there was a girls' softball team. They were all sitting there in the rocking chairs rocking. And as he walked down, one of the young ladies said to him, or asked him, "Who is Jesus?" And he said, "That is just the most awesome question that you could ask an apologist." He said, so he turned to the young lady, and he told her all about Jesus. And he said the ladies were really nice. All of them paid attention to what he was saying. And he thought what it was a great presentation in about 10 minutes of who Jesus is. He said, then his friend put on his shirt and said, "Lee, she didn't say who is Jesus. She said, Buenos dias." An honest mistake for people who can't hear. So who is this man Jesus? Well, and incidentally, everybody I mentioned in today's sermon is a Christian apologist. So I encourage you to read Lee Strobel's writings. But who is this man Jesus? According to C.S. Lewis, this is the single most important question that you will ever have to answer. Who is Jesus? Now, this is from the book Mere Christianity. I, again, recommend that you read that. How this question is answered determines how most of us will live our lives. And, of course, it goes without saying that it also has much bearing on where we will spend eternity. So realizing the gravity of the question, how important it is, let's look at our gospel text today, where we will hear these questions asked by Jesus. In Matthew 16, 13 through 20, which you just heard the deacon read, it's a very familiar passage. We refer to it, it has its own title, Peter's Confession. And our text begins, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." It's sort of as if Jesus was asking about his poll numbers. The disciples had been with Jesus for some time now, and they knew what the crowds around Jesus were saying. And so Jesus just asked. And they responded by saying, well, some say that you're John the Baptist come back to life. After all, their messages were very similar. Both were calling for people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And that would be an obvious one. But Matthew doesn't give us the percentage points of how many people thought this. But it is the first name mentioned. So perhaps John the Baptist was believed by some to have been raised from the dead. Now the second person mentioned is Elijah. And everyone knew that Elijah was a fearless, miracle-working prophet. Jesus did many miracles that were very similar. There's also the belief that Elijah would come again to usher in the Messianic age. Perhaps Jesus is coming to announce the beginning of the Messianic age. And again, Matthew doesn't give us any percentage points. We don't know how many people were thinking that, but maybe it's the second most likely. Third on the list, Jeremiah. Now, what about Jeremiah? He preached against false worship in the temple. And for preaching against, he received a tremendous amount of opposition, and he suffered a great deal for it. Sounds a lot like Jesus. Now, coming in fourth in this poll is just a lump of, or one of the other prophets, you know, one of those others. And Jesus does indeed have many of the qualities found in the prophets of old. All of these names, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, they're all intended as compliments, and they are commendations. But in actuality, they're all lowballing who Jesus really is. Now, if Jesus were to ask us the same question today, who do people say that the Son of Man is? It would take us a while to answer because there are so many divergent things being said about Jesus now, even in the church. And another apologist I'll mention to you, a Lutheran named Matthew Richard, wrote a book, and I recommend it to you. It's a good read. Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? In that book, he looks at 12 possible views of Jesus in our present day culture. They are all false. They are all false Christ. But even though they're false, there are those who embrace them and love them and promote them and revere them. And many of them are well-meaning Christians. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail on these 12, but I do want to mention them. And you will, as they come by, you will recognize people's views of Jesus. First thing he mentioned in his book is Jesus the mascot. Jesus the mascot has pom-poms, and he encourages his followers in their pursuit of whatever it is that makes them happy. He cheers them on. This Jesus, we all know this one, Jesus the one option among many. That's that description you hear where people say, oh, there are many paths up the one hill. All place, and Jesus is just one of those paths. And there's Jesus the good teacher. Great teachings. But if he's a teacher, it really doesn't require any great commitment on our part. I like this one. Jesus the therapist gives helpful advice for life, points you in the right direction. And there are a lot of churches that preach about Jesus the therapist and how he can help you overcome problems and issues. There is Jesus, the giver of bling. Of course, is his reference to the prosperity gospel. God doesn't want his children to have anything but the very best. And then he talks about what be important right now, Jesus, the national patriot. And this would be Jesus, Republican, or Jesus, the Democrat, particularly at this time. But I hate to tell you, Jesus is not a Republican. Jesus is not a Democrat. And even more shocking, Jesus is not an American. Then there's Jesus, the social justice warrior, out there fighting for people's rights. You can check the agendas of many, many liberal Protestant denominations, and you will see Jesus, the social justice warrior. I could give you several examples, but I won't. Then there's Jesus, the moral example. He's the example of how we should live our lives. And there's Jesus, the new Moses. He's the lawgiver of how we are required to live our lives if we want to be good. And then there's Jesus, the mystical friend. That's the mystical union that we can have with Jesus apart from the church, apart from the Word of God, just me and Jesus together. And one you may not be that familiar with, but I think you are, the feminized Jesus seeks to affect gender inequality by emphasizing the female attributes, not only of God, but of the Holy Trinity. And then everybody's favorite, Jesus, the teddy bear. Cuddly, safe, tame Jesus, who makes us feel good and safe in a childlike sort of way. Now, these 12 things are the way a lot of people like to think about Jesus and the way they would describe him. But each one of them falls way short of saying who Jesus really is. A couple of things that all 12 of them have in common is that all of them avoid emphasis on the cross of Jesus Christ. They avoid any dealing with sacramental theology. And none of them call you to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. You are not called to follow the biblical Jesus by those 12 versions of Jesus. And so we might reply to Jesus, these things, Lord, this is who people are saying that you are. And then Jesus would ask us the second question, who do you say that I am? Now, each of these false Christs came from the imagination of human beings. None of them happens to be the real deal. The real deal is revealed by Peter, who probably more than likely just blurted out the answer as it was given to him. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the real deal. This is who Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He's the one that was promised for centuries by God as he spoke through the prophets. He's the fulfillment of the covenant God made with David, that one of his descendants would sit on his throne and rule forever. But more important than all of this, he is the Son of the living God. He is God incarnate in human flesh. Peter replied with that answer, that great confession, and Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. All 12 of those ideas of who Jesus is that we just mentioned a moment ago are the result of human ingenuity. They are false insights into who Jesus is, developed by clever minds, putting forward what they had discerned. but not one of them is the result of divine revelation. Peter's confession is a divine revelation, something that he did not discern for himself. As Jesus said in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Like Peter, you and I did not wake up one morning and sitting there with our coffee say, hey, I think Jesus is the divinely sent Savior, come down from heaven for us men and for our salvation. You didn't come up with that on your own. I didn't come up with it on my own. God's Spirit worked that faith in our hearts. You and I have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ the same way Peter did. Divine revelation. And so we join him in his confession. Each one of us has come some point in our life to the realization that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confession, when it's professed boldly in the world, is the foundation upon which Jesus is building his church. Always has been. Now, I am aware that the Roman Catholic Church uses this passage of Scripture to support the primacy of Peter as the first pope. They hold that Jesus is speaking of Peter when he says, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, the Protestant reformers and a large number of the early church fathers believe that Jesus was speaking about that dramatic revelation and confession of Peter's when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So which is it? Is Jesus speaking of Peter, or is he speaking of Peter's confession when he says, upon this rock? And the answer to that is yes. I have no problem with the primacy of Peter, but I would have to ask anyone who reads this story to answer this question. Is the story about Peter, or is the story about Jesus? The story is about Jesus and who Jesus is, and the apostolic proclamation of that faith is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is the rock solid foundation on which God in Christ Jesus is building his church. And I'll tell you right now, I have not told you anything that you do not already know. But I want to tell you this. I'm say all of this again because I want us to think of it as a call to a level of responsibility for each one of us during this present crisis. Or I should say crises. They just seem to grow exponentially. Remember to pray for the people in Texas who are being hit from every direction by everything. And the people in who are suffering in these crises. There are a great many people out there who are not weathering these storms well at all. Many of them are following a false Christ, and it's not helping them during this time. Believe me, their foundation is not built on the rock of Jesus Christ. They have their foundations in the sand, sandy foundations that are crumbling away, that are being swept away by the storms. Their faith is shaken because that faith was not placed in the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. Well, if you have not noticed, the gates of hell have been unleashed on the entire world. And those of us who confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, are the only ones who are standing on the firm foundation that cannot be shaken. This present time is our opportunity to share our faith with those who are losing their faith, and to share our faith with those who have no faith at all, who've never met Jesus. And what does that look like for you? And what does that look like for me? I don't know. But I do know that it begins in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and it begins in my relationship with Jesus Christ. And a good starting point for all of us would be to begin by asking Jesus, how can I share you as you have been revealed to me? How can I share you in my story and in the difference that you have made in my life? Like I said, I don't know exactly what all this looks like, but I know this. If you ask God to lead you to someone in order to share that story, God will set a divine appointment for you. I admonish me to find ways to help others who are sinking in sand. Help them onto the firm footing of the sure foundation. Now, people everywhere are asking in their own ways and in a lot of different ways, who is Jesus? Well, you and I know the real deal. Share it. Who is Jesus? Buenos dias. Amen.